Dia, I first believe.
Man, it's good to see each one of you out this morning. Let's just remain standing if you'd like and read our scripture. Revelation 6, beginning with verse 12. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was an great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? As we pray this morning, before we're seated, I know you've already prayed, but I called Brother Whidbey's today, and he's got a bad bout of prostate trouble, so remember him as we pray this morning. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering together here. We ask you that you would just grant understanding to each one of us, because we know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Guide each heart and each life. Let each one of us see this day, Lord, what you have for us. May we understand what an hour that we're living in. May we see our day and recognize the time that we're living. Bless our brother yonder, Brother Whidbey. We know that the flesh, it's given problems, but yet we know a divine healer. We know one that can take care of all of our troubles. Guide us now in the service and just lead each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you out this morning. Just pray for us. This will be message number 3 that we've got on to the sixth seal. And we're kind of slow, I know, but sometimes this, as Brother Moat used to quote about a cat eating a grinding stone, you have to just lick a little at a time. You can't take off a great big bite. You have to take a little lick at a time, and then things begin to slowly just grind away, and then you see where you're at. But appreciate each one of you being out. Just remember to pray for the ones that are sick, different ones. Just as a little review, we've seen that in reading the Revelation 6, we know that this is the sixth seal. And the sixth seal, all of us know from even the Baptist teach it and things like that, is Matthew 24, bringing on the tribulation period and all this, being the tribulation time that we're speaking of. But we're not trying to look at it in that form. We're trying to look at it and see what we can catch. But we saw from our previous messages that at the time of that this sixth seal is broken, that the church is already gone. The church is already raptured, because she goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation. As John was shown there and said, come up, when they spoke to him, then we know that that's the rapture of the church, and she leaves out before any of these things takes place. But when we come to studying in our messages now, this sixth seal is after we're done gone, and we'd say, well, what do we need to study about it for? Well, we'll find out maybe as we go along a little about it, and understand maybe some things that we need to understand about it. But at the time of the seal, breaking of the sixth seal, the church, she's already been changed. She's already been taken out. And this is the thing that everybody's looked for and you know, studied about and talked about. It's the tribulation period. It's when the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth because of the rejection of the word. But now, just watch it this morning and see if you can find yourself. See, it wouldn't do us any good, you know, for us to just say, well, that's the tribulation period. We know that that Israel's going to be there during the tribulation and we're going to get out of here and we're not going to be in that time. Would that be what would help us? Is that what's going to change us to just know that we don't go through the tribulation? Well, some scholar might pick that up and differ with all the other scholars, you know, because basically all of your denominational systems all the way through, they basically teach that the church is going through a minor tribulation. They've got a 7-year period of tribulation, and they teach that the church is going through the first half of it called the minor tribulation, and then there'll be a church leave, and then they'll have a major tribulation. Well, then, we know that that's not true, but does that part, just knowing that, is that the rapture to us? Is that the mystery of redemption that the sixth seal is to hold, that we're supposed to catch a mystery and understand it and by those mysteries be changed? Is that the mystery of redemption, to just say, well, we know that the sixth seal, that's the tribulation period, and Israel's going to be there, and the foolish virgin's going to be there, and we're going to be gone? Well, see, I don't quite think that away. I don't actually see it that away. I believe we've got to get something from that. You remember when God came down to Abraham and told him what he was going to do about Sodom and wanted to know if the things was right and all? You remember what he said to him? He said, can I withhold anything from Abraham, seeing he is heir of all things? Well, now, he was going to reveal something to Abraham. See, then the church is the spiritual seed of Abraham by faith. Well, we better realize that there's something for us under these seals. Not that we just understand that the sixth seal is to the tribulation and all, and we're done gone, and boy, we know all about the seals, don't we? But it's supposed to be a mystery. A mystery is a hidden secret that even once it's revealed to you, that there's a supernatural element will remain despite the fact that it is revealed to you. Even after the mystery is made known, then there'll be something left that will still be a mystery to us. See, we won't never get all the things in this world. We'll get enough to get out of this world. Well, that's what we're trying to get then. We know that they get the actual breaking of the seals. See, that even covers the first seal. Like the white horse riders that rode out, that's the mystery of iniquity. The man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God. That happens in the tribulation. They get the actual opening of the seal. But we get the spiritual revelation. Now, that's what I've been trying to get over in the past about 2 or 3 messages to us. That we get the spiritual revelation of the seal. They get the actual breaking of the seal. But we get the revelation that reveals what now? It reveals the mystery of redemption unto the church. See, it makes known the mystery of redemption, but now how do you get it? How do you get a revelation? You've got to be shown something, say, in the natural to understand the spiritual. Is that true? We've got to catch something in the natural before we can catch it in the spiritual. All right, to get a spiritual revelation then of the seals, we've got to look at the natural breaking of the seal. And then we see that what that reveals to us spiritually from that natural breaking. Now, in the natural breaking of the seal, the sixth seal, what do we see? The tribulation period, don't we? Then we're to look for a mystery of redemption, something that reveals a mystery to us. As I said, not just that we don't go there. That's a good thing, because basically all of your systems believe that we're going there. Alright, that's a good point. But now, just think as we go into this sixth seal talking about it. We found that the sixth seal is the tribulation period. It's actually the wrath of God poured out upon the world. Now you think about what it is that there'll be a time there in the Bible speaks of, and the Lord willing, maybe we'll read a few of them tonight, that it speaks about how that people will desire to die and can't die. Now, as I was expressing this week talking with one of the brothers at work about it, he'd asked a question about that. I don't believe that we'd be, and take it like literally to the point that man will seek death and can't die, that you'd drop an atom bomb right on top of him and blow him into 4 billion pieces and there wouldn't be nothing left of him but dust and he can't die. Now, I'm not that far off. I don't believe the Bible is, nor the prophet was. Because the prophet would quote the scriptures about how they'd seek death and can't find it. Watch who that group of people is this morning. Maybe we can get to it in the message. I don't believe that will just be everybody out there that will be seeking death and can't find it, because there'll be a lot of people die along about that time. There's an earthquake to California, and there's all kind of things that millions of people could die. Well, it won't be that you can't die like you will. The Bible says you can't die. Boy, we got that down right, ain't we? No, but there's something the Bible's trying to tell us, because there will be people that will seek death and can't find it. Who is that group of people that cries for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the wrath of the Lord? Who is that group of people that's there? Like I said, when the seal opens, over there, and literally opens now, the whole religious system as a whole now, I'm just putting it that away, they won't know anything about it because they believe they're going into that tribulation. They believe basically that they'll be in the first half of that tribulation. So it won't be any surprise to them to find out that blocks of ice, as the Bible speaks of, will fall weighing, the Bible calls it a talent, which is from 90 to 100 pounds. That won't be any surprise to them. But there's somebody that is surprised to there. Watch it in a minute and see who it is that it's surprised to. Now, we read it the other day, but I went back and got to thinking on it some more. But you just think now where we are and what's going on with all of the world and everything. Because we read in verse 12 there that when that sixth seal opens, it opens with an earthquake. First thing that happens under the sixth seal is an earthquake. All right, then the two witnesses will be on the scene there preaching the word to the people. And when that earthquake happens at the opening of that seal, all nature goes into a great turmoil. All right, now look around you in the world today. When have we ever had weather conditions, problems? One time they asked Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, is the fact of this marriage and divorce and situation all right? Said, is that a sign of the end? He said, well, not by itself. He said, because they've always had marriage and divorce and they've always done that. But he said, with all everything else mounting up together and that in it, then it's a sign of the end. See, not just one thing by itself. But look at the whole world. Brother Branham said, after a series of earthquakes, California would go under. I now look at the earthquakes of the whole world now. Look at the weather conditions to the whole world. All right, then we don't have to look around and say, well, maybe that's not for us. Watch it in a minute now when we get down to what people say like that. And then you'll see who is headed for the tribulation and cry for the rocks to fall on. People say, oh, well, we don't know about that.
But just think now. When the sixth seal breaks, what causes judgment to fall upon the earth? Now, what causes it? And you'll see right down to the letter what will happen in the tribulation. Right there in one split second, I saw every seal to Israel and the two witnesses standing there preaching to them, and that seal broke as it went through my mind just then. Because what causes the earthquakes to happen, all the things? We see nature out here is in bad shape, but one of these days the wrath of God will be poured out and there won't be no more mercy. There won't be a bit of mercy left then. The wrath will be poured out. See, then people will seek to die and can't die and things like that because there'll be problems then that you've never seen in your life. But what causes that? You remember that from the message the other night? The Lamb has left the mercy seat. See, when that sixth seal breaks forth over there to Israel, they'll see that the Lamb has left the mercy seat. They'll see it then. They won't realize it when the first seal breaks and they see the mystery of iniquity of the man of sin sitting in the temple of God. They'll see down through there and see how the church ages come down, and they'll see how that the fifth seal reveals the souls under the altar, and that's all of their brothers that have already died and went on. But when that earthquake breaks forth, they see the Lamb has left the mercy seat. Because up until that time, they'll see grace. But then when they see that sixth seal has broken, they see no more grace. They see judgment. You remember in the Old Testament when the Lamb left the mercy seat? The same seat that was mercy when the blood was upon it, what did it become? Judgment seat. Judgment. See, was striking. And that's what that sixth seal will be. It'll be judgment striking the earth. Striking those who have rejected the Word. Because nothing don't just happen without a reason. See, the reason the tribulation comes on is because the Lamb has left the mercy seat. That's what brings the wrath of God down, is because the Lamb has done left and walked away, and there's no more blood on the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, as long as that blood was there, Israel was safe for that time. But when the blood left the mercy seat, the same seat that had mercy one time became judgment seat. When they rejected God, it became judgment. But now here's what I want you to think about today, and you watch it and it'll tie right in with the seals and you'll see what I'm talking about. God always sends a warning before He sends judgment. Now I want you to think on that today and just put that as your title underneath the sixth seal. You're writing it down. Just put warning, then judgment. Now, watch what that fits to now. Warning, then judgment. This is page 6 and 7 of the message, warning, then judgment. He talks about God warning man before bringing him to his death. Now, here's a thing that you might ought to consider. Why would Brother Branham use Hezekiah from Isaiah 38, that Hezekiah, when he was told to set his house in order that he would die, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and God restored or granted unto him 15 years. That's the scripture the prophet used to preach warning then judgment. Why would you use that scripture, Brother Branham, to preach warning then judgment? I can think of a lot of scriptures you could use, like Noah preaching 120 years warning the people. I can think of the children of Israel down there in the scriptures of where that they would be warned and warned by prophets that you're going to go into tribulation, you know, persecution, the judgment's going to fall. About that time you see Israel cast off to a foreign nation somewhere. But why did he use that scripture to preach warning, then judgment? Or, as the title goes, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. Now just listen for a few minutes and just think about what we're trying to say. Listen to what the prophet says and listen to what this message today, if you will, if you've never listened in your life, listen to this message today and let's see if we can see something. Just pay close attention, go home then, and think about what's said. I mean, I'd do anything in the world for any of you. And you know that. I'd do anything you'd ask me to do. If it was give you every dime I've got or give you anything in the world, I'd give it to you. You know that. Well, then give me one opportunity today to listen to what I say. And then go home and think about it. That God never, never sends judgment upon anyone until He warns them first. He never does it. And the Lord gave me this without me knowing anybody'd be here or any intentions of talking about anybody or to anybody or anything. So just think about the message now and just listen for one time and be concerned with yourself. Watch what the prophet says now. God warning man before bringing him to his death. Now, everyone has this. We might say, well, this feller died without a warning. No, no, no. God never. You don't know what was in that man's heart. You don't know what's been going on in his life. See, God never brings any man to his death without first warning him about it. Now, listen to the prophet's words. Telling him it's something of preparation. God is sovereign. He knocks at the heart of every man, bringing him, giving him the opportunity to come. He might warn away and turn it down. Listen now, this is talking about what the man might do. He might warn away and turn it down and shake his head to it and walk away and say, ah, it's just a funny feeling. I'll get over it. But anyhow, it was God speaking to him. You ever had one of them funny feelings? I had one when I was a kid about 12 years old when I met God. I had that funny feeling. You ever had one? God never brings judgment upon the earth without first giving the people a warning. And God never does nothing without declaring it first what He's going to do. He goes on to say now that there's nothing can ever change it. God's first decision is perfect. There's nothing can ever change it. All right, now, just think with me now. As I said, Noah preached 120 years before judgment fell. For a long period of time. Israel would be warned that a judgment would be coming. And then when they would, it might be 50 years before it would come into manifestation. You remember David when he sinned there? He couldn't build a building. That way it comes down the same way. Said Solomon will do it down later. Something in the Bible, it would be so amazing to me as I was a young feller in the Baptist back there reading the Bible how that God would tell a man, I remember one man there that David said, as long as you stay in this kingdom, the prophets had done spoken all about them dying and things out. David said, as long as you stay in my kingdom, you're safe. Nobody can ever touch you. And I remember reading that as a young fella, how perfect the word was because it had already been spoken that he was to die. And that man, something happened and somebody stole something from him or something happened. He left the kingdom by secret and come back and David had the man killed. Because he said, as long as you stay here, my word's true, I can't touch you. There's many times in the Bible that God would send a warning. It might be years and years later. You think about the message. Read the message, warning, then judgment. John was told 2,000 years ago of the end of the world. 2,000 years ago, John was told of the end of the world. See, our problem is in the way God does things. But yet he does it in perfect order that we can't argue with him about it. Just like warning Hezekiah and saying, Hezekiah, set your house in order, for thus saith the Lord, you shall die. Man turned his face to the wall and repented, said, Lord, I need 15 years, or I need time to get my life straight, get my business right out here and everything running right. The Lord said, I'll grant you 15 years. Did that change God's mind? No, he just permitted the man to live a little longer. I like what Brother Branham said about Hezekiah on warning then judgment. He said at least Hezekiah was in contact enough with God that God would listen to him and do what he asked him to do. Now you think that man was that close to God, but you, as I told my wife the other day, you think at the end of the 15 years Hezekiah didn't want 15 more? He got into a sinful state and couldn't contact God no more. Is that true about him? You know, Bible readers know that's true. Hezekiah got in a sinful state. He couldn't contact God no more. If he could, God would have given him another 15 years if he'd have wanted it. But the Scripture's right when it said, set your house in order for you'll die. He died, didn't he? Just because, see, we see something that comes along and it's prophesied. Like the children of Israel, it'd be prophesied. Told them, thus saith the Lord, you're going into captivity. It might be 50 years before they go into captivity. See, then the people, they for a little while, they'd be scared. That little feeling Brother Branham was talking about. The little warning that came on the heart. They'd be scared. They'd say, oh, we're going into captivity. Then a few days pass off. A few weeks pass off and they don't go. A few months pass off. Then a year passes off. Then you know what people begin to do? They begin to laugh and make fun of the prophet. They begin to ridicule. Read the message, warning, then judgment, see if that ain't what he's talking about. They begin to ridicule the prophet. They begin to make fun of him because they don't see the judgment falling right then. See, God warns, and he'll tell us about something we do wrong or something goes wrong in some way. We do something wrong, he'll warn us. And we feel that little funny feeling that shakes over us. A preacher preaches a message and brings out something, some sin in our life. And he says, straighten that up because a judgment will strike you. We feel that little funny feeling in our, you know, in our beings. And then we say, well, I better do something. I better get this straight. But then time passes off. Then after a while, you know what happens? We start out by saying, well, maybe the Lord wasn't talking about me. Then after a while, it just builds up to a case that, you know what we begin to say? We begin to say, well, the Lord must be happy with what I'm doing. He hasn't brought judgment upon me yet. I can find in the Bible it's all right for me to do this. It's all right for me to cut my hair and wear my pants and all this other, because the Baptists say it's all right. It's all right for me to live this way in adultery and just go on living anyway. It's all right for me to gamble, smoke, cuss. It's all right for me to drink. It's all right for me to do all these things. Because that preacher told me 5 years ago that I needed to get straightened up, and the Lord ain't condemned me yet. the Lord ain't struck me yet, because he told me then there was going to be judgment come on me if I didn't straighten up. So the Lord must like it this way. Why? You know, the Lord, he was back. You get what I'm talking about? You ever had that little funny feeling? You'll turn it away one of these days and it'll be the last time. It'll be the last time now. You say you shouldn't talk like that, Brother Dale. The blood's on me if I don't talk. The blood's on me today if I don't talk. This message has been on my heart all week. The blood's on me if I don't talk. My wife can tell you, I haven't studied on this message. Some messages I don't study on. I let them go because I know that there's something fixing to come. I have to let it go because if I study, I'll pre-plan things. And then when I pre-plan things, that's human nature getting in the way. But God always, listen, he always warns you. Then judgment will strike. But now listen, the way he does it is what messes up most people. He'll warn you, and 120 years he preached through Noah before judgment struck. That's what fouled it up, see. Sure, anyone would believe a preacher if he's standing in the pulpit and says, "Thus saith the Lord, you'll die." And he just, man, just fall over like that. Anybody believe that now? But they turn around and make fun of the Word. When the Word has said, you shall die. Now let's just see if the prophet says it. It's page 15, warning, then judgment. Watch what he says about it. He does not always strike when he warns. I want you to watch this quotation. Now listen, he says he wants us to watch it. God gives a warning, but he doesn't always strike the same time he warns. Did you notice that? And then when he doesn't strike, when he sends a warning, then the prophet is mocked. You didn't have it. You told a lie. You wasn't right. See, when the prophet stands there with the Word, we went through the illustrations in the Bible. When it didn't happen, think about Simeon, the man that said, "I'll not die till I see the Lord's Christ." How much ridicule that man took. How much he took in his life. That day by day, maybe 50 years prior to the end is when the man spoke that. We don't know. It was revealed to him, it says, one day that he'd not die till he saw the Lord's Christ. Might have been 10 minutes, it might have been 10 years. The children of Israel would be warned, get the setting, and you'll know that it's scriptural at least what I'm saying. You know yourself the children of Israel would be warned and told not to do something and they'd go do it anyway, and it might be 50 years later before they went into captivity on account of that. The Bible says God is long-suffering. Hezekiah was told, "Set your house in order, for you'll die." 15 years after then, when he died, the word, "Thus saith the Lord," was still right. Then he died. Jonah went down to Nineveh. You remember that? And when he went down to Nineveh, he said, "Repent or perish, for thus saith the Lord, in 40 days he'll destroy this." 40 days passed, the city repented. 40 days passed, Jonah got up on the hillside. He said, "Lord," said, "what about this? I done said, thus saith the Lord, I done made a monkey out of myself." He just let a gourd come up, and he let a worm eat the gourd down. First one thing and another. Now, trying to show Jonah what was going on. Then he finally said, "Jonah, those people repented. And now you want to destroy them." But listen, the city of Nineveh was destroyed later because of the sin of their lives. Didn't change a word. John, 2,000 years ago, page 16 of Warning Then Judgment. John, 2,000 years ago, spoke things that are now coming to pass. You think he wouldn't ridicule? When a prophet speaks the word, then it might be years later before it comes to pass. Now, God allows this to be that way so that we'll make a choice. One time a prophet was ridiculed in the Bible, and the children went out and mocked that prophet. And it says three she-bears came out and ate 42 children. Because they ridiculed a prophet for something he had said. Where do you think those children got that from? I don't believe these kids would make fun of anybody unless I'm talking about mine and yours and all, or any kid in the world. They've got to learn somewhere to make fun of somebody at. Why is it that in our day and time that people still have prejudiced feelings, white and black? Because somebody somewhere you've heard all your life called niggers and whiteys, and somebody somewhere planted that in your mind. And you went to school and laughed and made fun of them because you wanted to be with the crowd. Whites and blacks, I said now. Then what is it? God would warn you when you first done that little thing of making fun of somebody or ridiculing somebody. Didn't you feel a little funny, like you ought not have done it? That's your conscience, which is a moral obligation to do good. Now, that's all a conscience is. It's a moral obligation to do good. You remember the first little thing you done wrong, kids? Little boys, do you remember the first time you took a puff off of a cigarette? Or you took a drink, or you done some little something, or these men here, you remember that? I do. I was warned right then. I got my warning. But you know, after a while, and I didn't smoke that much, but you know, after a while, I could puff with the best, you know. I didn't get that little warning no more. And judgment had done set in because it had done started deteriorating my body. My lungs had begun to fill with stuff. You see what I'm driving at now? The little things that we see, and just remember this, I never did preach the message, but I've got notes on it from about 8 years ago. You never sin by yourself. Just remember that one too. You never sin by yourself. Someone will join in with you and believe you and walk with you. As Brother Branham said about girls and boys and men and women, he said, the boys will either leave the word and go with the girls if they don't want to follow it, or the girls will leave the word and go with the boys because they don't want to follow it. You watch it. It's always been that way. You never sin alone. But yet the problem now is in the way God does it, if you want to call it a problem, and the Lord knows what I'm saying about that. The way He does it is where we run into trouble. Because He doesn't just come down and just snatch us right then and just... No, He just warns us. If that ain't true and you think I ain't talking right, you tell me why you're condemned when you come in front of a person who does try to live right. Now, that's God's warning. You mean you'll go out here and do something in the woodshed you wouldn't do around your brothers and sisters? That's respect. That's nice. That's good. commendable for you to smoke away from Daddy and not let Daddy be around you. But that doesn't change nothing. You understand? I'm wanting to talk to us personal this morning because that's why the message came, warning, then judgment. You see, the prophet of God is always the one that's mocked. Now I want you to think a little bit with me in this realm. A lot of you children were born and raised in this message, especially say some of Brother Woodby's and them people will be hearing these messages. I hope he lets everybody in the church hear it. Most of you children were born and raised in the message. And Brother Branham made a lot of statements. And he talked about a lot of things, about the end of the world being at hand. And some of you are old enough that when you read the books and heard the messages yourself, when you were little bitty fellers, you heard Brother Branham say that the end of the world is at hand. Now it's went on 15, 20 years. Everybody thought 77 was going to end it. Everybody thought 73 is going to end it. 70 is going to end it. This was going to end it. That was going to end it. But does that change the word of the prophet? Does that change his word? Doesn't that identically fit the Bible? I'm giving you a biblical background is what I've done here. I've given you a biblical background to make the statements I'm making. That in the Bible, God would warn and it'd be 50, 100, 2,000 years later before the judgment would strike. John on the Isle of Patmos saw it 2,000 years ago, the sixth seal break and the judgment strike upon the earth. They were always ridiculed by that happening that way. Noah preached 120 years. Listen, that was to try the believers to see whether the believers would stay with the word or not. God allowed it to happen that way to see whether the believer would stay with the word. And say, I can't explain it and don't know what's going on or why it ain't happened, but I still believe what the prophet said. This end time prophet, Brother Branham, he made a lot of statements that some of you children, even after you started coming to church here, have grown up. And you think, well now them people have made a lot of statements. They said Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said that. And we don't see it. Why, things are just going on. It's getting better. I got a better job. I got a better car. I got a better home. I'm doing better than I was years ago when Brother Dale said that there'd come a time when I'd be hungry and wouldn't have a home to live in or a car to drive. You've heard me make them statements, haven't you? I made them statements because the prophet of God made them statements. And I believed it and still do. Well, why hadn't it happened then? You want to read the Bible then? Now, if it ain't biblical, we're not supposed to say it. Look in 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter and let's just see. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, scoffers. You know what scoffers are, don't you? Why, that old prophet's words ain't true. Make fun of it. See, scoffers. Ridiculing. Making fun. Laughing. Walking after their own lust, the Bible says. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, Peter must have known this was going to happen. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Is that what they say? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Being ignorant of the word, knowing, standing right here on this earth and knowing the word brought this earth, and then a human being would scoff at the words of the Lord and say, my own mother, and no reflection against her whatsoever. But my wife was talking about the end of the world being here one time, and my own mother said, well, I've heard that all of my life. Is that what the Bible said they'll say? Listen. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Orange, plain language. You say the end of the world's here. Why? It's getting better. I've heard that all of my life. I heard it when I come in this message, when Daddy started the message, now this little feller. I've heard it all of my life, or I was a little girl, or I was this, that, or the other. I was just a child when we started, or I was born and raised in this message. I've given it to you out of the Scripture that that's identically the way God always does it, and he can't change his mind. And if he done it back there and spoke it and let it come to pass 50 or 100 years later or something, then he would have to do it here in the end time through the prophet of God and say the end time is here. We're in the end time. Make your house ready because you're going to die. Are you going into rapture one? Then it would have to come out the same way again, wouldn't it? Is that the Scriptures? See, we can go sit down and talk with others and they paint a beautiful picture and a rosy scenery and just make everything beautiful. But see whether their beauty fits the word or not. Bring it to me and let's talk about it. I'll listen to you all day. I've been accused of not listening to people, but I'll listen to you. But don't blame me when you get through talking. Me want to do some talking too now. As I've always said, when I'm at your house, we'll talk about what you want to talk about. But when you're at my house, we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. I'll listen to you, but I ask the opportunity you listen to me. Come, let us reason together, the Bible says. Then the Bible proves that it'd be that way. Then the Bible proves that they'd be scoffers in the last days. The Bible proves that we would be that way. That we would say, the Lord hath delayed his coming. The Lord must have went on a journey and delayed his coming because I've heard that all of my life. Yeah, but now listen. Before I go with these other few verses, I want us to think. You remember the first time you done wrong. I don't care how old you are or young you are. You remember the first time you done wrong. You remember when you done that wrong. And you remember something said, don't do that. You got your warning right then. Then judgment struck you. You reap what you sow. Judgment struck you. Now where are you at? Check yourself by the word. Come, let's reason together with the word and let's see what you say is right. Like I told a man the other day, I said, you find a denomination that teaches this word correctly, I'll go join with you. He hasn't produced it and he knows he can't because he knows they're wrong himself. But yet he's had his warning now. Oh, he didn't just fall over dead just because I told him he's wrong. No, but he had his warning. He felt a little shakiness in his heart because he came back to me and he said, are you saying all them people wrong? He said, how could God bless out there and get people saved and all, and you telling me it's all wrong? I said, Balaam was a false prophet, wouldn't he? He said, yeah. I said, well, then Balaam prophesied even of the coming of the Lord, didn't he? He said, yeah. He said, now I see what you're talking about. I said, you can put an egg under a puppy and it'll hatch, won't it? He said, yeah. I said, then a Baptist can preach the word and produce a Christian. But it doesn't mean he'll produce it all. It doesn't mean that he'll
do it. It's like I told him. I'll just go on with what I told him. I said, what does the Bible say they'll do in Revelation 18 and 4? It says, come out of her, my people. I said, if they're born again, they'll come out, won't they? And he said, yeah. I said, that settles it. All right, now his warning was there. Next is judgment. You say, how does that fit to see it? Let's just go back and read this now. Read 15, 16, 17 of this. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and the mighty men, and ever bondmen, coming all the way from the top to the bottom. Now let me show you this before we start, and you'll see that it's true. Did not Brother Branham preach the kings, and the great men of the world? Now, didn't he preach to them? He preached around the world seven times. The film that they've got of either the Deep Calls of the Deep or the 20th Century Prophet, I believe it's the Deep Call to the Deep. Richard Nixon, if I ain't mistaken, is that the one? One of the vice president. He had spoke at that meeting and turned and walked off to leave, and Brother Branham came to the platform. He turned, they said, and sat down and listened to him preach. Now, that's what I've been told. I don't know because I don't care. I know they all know about him. Then he preached to the kings of the earth. You remember the king he went to? Prayed for it? King George of England. He went and prayed for him. And the kings of the earth and the great men. Look at the religious leaders across the land. They knew Brother Branham was here. They'll even tell you he was here. And the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. Listen. And ever bondman. Now it's getting down to just plain old common ordinary people like me and you. And ever freeman. Wouldn't matter who you are, where you're a servant, a foot wash flunky, all the way to the President of the United States. Look at our great president now saying we want prayer back in school. Well, praise the Lord for him. I hope we get it, but what's that going to do? Repentance after judgment falls does you no good. Could Judas find it after judgment fell on him? He got his warning. Then he got his judgment. Listen. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, if that fits that away, listen to what he says on 441 of the seal book. This is the sixth seal message. And notice the last verse. Now, before I say this, think about what I said a while ago. The basics of your organizational systems are looking to go into tribulation. So it won't bother them when the rocks fall. It won't bother them when the earthquakes happen, when the ice falls weighing 90 pounds. It won't bother them. They're kind of looking for it. There's a group right over here across the river that's preaching. We're going through that right now if you want to go to them and talk to them. And they're already preparing. Followers of David Turley done preparing. This is a blessed area in Lula, and they're preparing to go through that. And that man knew of Brother Branham real good. I know the man that baptized him in the bathtub. Listen, notice the last verse of the sixth seal open. Those who had laughed at the preaching of the word, of the vindicated word of the living God, when them prophets that stood there and performed miracles, now that's over in Israel, watch, but watch it come right back to us, and closed the sun and everything else and all down through the age, they cried for the rocks and the mountains to hide them, from the word that they had laughed at. See, there'll be people over there and make fun of them two prophets. It has to be to fit the Scripture. Because they can see Him coming. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Word. They had laughed at the Word. And here the Word was incarnate, and they made fun of it. Laughed at them, made fun of them, and the incarnate Word had dropped forth. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. Too far then. Now listen. They couldn't repent. It's too far. There'll come a day you can't repent. So they knew that the punishment, listen now, they hear it. They sit in meetings like this and knew about it.
Now, who's that? They said in meetings like this, and knew about it. Brother Branham preached to all of those groups of people, everything from kings down to slaves in Africa. He preached to the world. They'll laugh and ridicule, and one of these days those judgments will fall, and if me and you miss it, we'll be right there crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us to hide us because we've done missed it. Warning, then judgment. Just because this went on for 20 years since you've heard of it, 30 years, 50 years, or whatever that you've heard of it, the word is still true. We'll be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us, to hide us from the wrath, because when we first started back yonder a long time ago in that little tingle on our heart when the Lord said, don't do it that way. You started from there and worked your way all the way through until you became a full-rank, full-fledged sinner. And then come into this message and claim to believe it. And walk with it and claim to believe it, and then turn right around and go back to the dog to its vomit. And the sow to the waller and the mire. You think about it. Warning. It doesn't mean it just happened 5 minutes later. You say something about somebody or do something about something or do anything in sin. And then you think, well, boy, I got by with that. How many kids have ever done that? Are you honest enough to be like I am? I'm honest. I admit it. You better. I said, well, Lord, when I was a little kid, I'd say, well, I got by with that one. Every time somebody had told me and it was in my mind that at the end of the world there would be a cloud come over the world, look like an umbrella. I don't know where I got it at, but somebody told me that. And every time it'd come up a bad cloud, a little fella would go out in the yard and look. And I looked for a cloud with an umbrella. And it didn't have one. And the clouds became clear again. I said, I got by that. I got by with that. I sinned. If I'd obeyed that conscience that was in me that started back there, I'd have never done the things I done. It said, don't do it. How many today is it crying out, don't do it? We've heard the word in our day. We turned down the word. Now, Brother Branham, let's see. Let me read on just a little further. The thing that they had rejected, they had spurned mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there's nothing left but judgment when you spurn mercy. 441, sealed it. Now, you say, how does that fit with the sixth seal? You know, people of the message are funny. I guess it's just all what we can see and read. I've heard it preached that a prophet was judgment to a nation. But I say now, he wasn't. The sixth seal just wasn't broke to the people. You might read it right out of the book right here. You might read it right out of Brother Brown's message that he said a prophet's judgment. Watch what he's saying. A prophet is mercy. A prophet is grace. To turn down what the prophet said is judgment. So the people basically know that they're going to turn it down, and it's judgment. They say Brother Branham was sent to the United States, and that was judgment. He didn't have to be sent to the rest. And judgment strikes here first. All that's true. But why? Because when you turn down mercy, it's when judgment strikes. A prophet was grace. As long as Noah was preaching, there was an opportunity. Grace was there. Brother Branham said to the children of Israel, he gave them a prophet. That was grace. He would have never given them the law. We studied that the other day. They already had grace. They had a prophet there with them. But listen, when that prophet was there, that was the warning. When the prophet came, that itself was the warning, if you're getting it. That was the warning that judgment was coming. Because they will turn the word down and judgment will strike then. But the group of people under the sixth seal that it covers there, is the group of people that know about this message in the end time. They're the ones that will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Because they know. They said in the meetings, the prophet said. They know judgment waits for them. You say, how does that fit the seals now to bring them all together? The fifth seal revealed that they would be a prophet because there's no combat beast. There's no combat beast on your fifth seal. Remember that? That means there'll have to be a prophet there for the word to come to. There had to be one in the end time. Then the next thing follows what? The fifth seal reveals grace. A prophet, a warning. Now you should be seeing what the mystery of redemption is. That grace would send a prophet and that'd be his warning throughout the Bible it would fit. Then the sixth seal judgment strikes. Because it's a judgment seal of the word. 410, 412 seal book. The sixth seal is a judgment seal of the word. Judgment always strikes when you turn down what a prophet says. You reject what he says, then judgment strikes. Sure, it might not strike that very minute, and you might laugh and make fun and think you got by. But just remember, it's all recorded. But it's done. Now listen, it's done that away to prove the true believer. To see whether the true believer will stay with the word. It don't matter what goes on. When it passed 77, where was most of your so-called true believers of Brother Branham's message when they thought he said 77 would be the end of it? Scoffers. Scoffers. But judgment waits. I didn't know that fit every scripture in the Bible until I started thinking about that this week. Every scripture in the Bible backs that up, that God always would send warning. And then sometimes he'd wait a time. Sure, you see a time there when he'd say, you know, like Ananias and Sapphira, they come in, he said, why have you lied against the Holy Ghost? This man not drop over dead. Sure, he can do that if he wants to. But the greatest trial is when he lets it pass on for like Noah, 120 years. First few days, you remember what Brother Branham said? Said, them people heard Noah say, repent, there's going to rain. He said, they begin to hang around the ark while he was building. Maybe a lot of them went up there and tried to help build the ark. Maybe they wanted to give him stuff to help him and do everything. But after a while, he said, the priests come around and they begin to say, well, yeah, there you are. Well, I really didn't mean, I didn't believe him all along. And they left. And them kids come up every day and throw tomatoes and things at him and made fun of him. And the old prophet just kept on working. 120 years. But then judgment struck. Don't turn down that little shaking in there. I read that to you to start with, where you'd see that. Brother Branham says, God don't never let nobody come to judgment until he first warns them. He said, you might not know about it. Read that and you'll see. He said, you might not know about it and you might not realize that's what's going on. But he said, a little feeling struck the person's heart. That was their warning. The fifth seal reveals grace, a prophet. The sixth seal reveals judgment for turning down what a prophet has said. The Bible says, if you judge yourself, you shall not be judged. The Bible says, oh, everybody wants to quote that, don't they? Oh, judge not that you be not judged. But what about where the Bible said, he that is spiritual judges all things? The word of the Lord judges all things. That's the only spiritual I know. It's the word of the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, we believe that you've spoken unto us about this message to bring it this way. We waited to see that you would be the one. We ask now that it not return unto thee void.
but would accomplish what it has been sent for, that we have had our warning. And judgment awaits us if we turn this word down. Lord, it's not trying to make people believe Brother Branham was a prophet. You know that. But it's to try to get us to believe the word. Help us, Lord. Guide us by your grace. In Jesus' name. Joyce, would you come? You know, a lot of people think all we try to do is prove Brother Branham was a prophet and you got to believe the word. If you was at a Baptist church this morning, that Baptist preacher would be preaching to you that you've got to believe the word. Is that true? If you was at a Pentecostal, a Presbyterian, or even a Catholic church this morning, that preacher would be saying, you've got to believe the word. That's your only hope. You know that's true, don't you? That's what they'd be saying. That you've got to believe this blessed old Bible, as they'd say and pat it. That's all I'm saying to you. Man, the other day that I was talking to, I said, listen, man, I'm not trying to tell you Brother Branham was a prophet because that ain't nothing to me. The Lord would have to reveal that to anyone. But I said, what does the Word say about a prophet being sent? Read Malachi 4. What does the Word say about a prophet? What does it say in Luke 17:30? What does it say in Revelation 10:7? I said, what does the Bible say? He said, could that be the Apostle Paul? I said, no, because the end of the world didn't come. He said, could that be the church? I said, you know better than that, because the Word never come to the church. Always come to a prophet. See, he was searching. I said, I'm not trying to convince you of nothing. I'm just telling you what the Word says. And that's all I'm doing this morning. I ain't trying to convince you of nothing. Wouldn't do no good to try to scare you. But don't turn down that little feeling. That's your warning. The next is your judgment. Let's just sing Just As I Am. Because that's where I stand. I'm in it with you. 220. I've had a lot of thoughts. I've come down through a life and lived it. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. So there's nobody condemning. Nobody. Except condemning us for staying that way. Not condemning us for being that way. God don't condemn nobody for being a sinner. You're automatically born that way by predestination. But he condemns us for staying that way. When he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Just get rid of that burden. You know what you carry all day, don't you? You know the burden that you carry. You know what you think. I don't. Then get rid of that part of it. Let's just sing this. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to of God I come. I come just as I am and waiting to rid my soul of warning grace. Prophet, grace, then judgment. The word of the Lord, then judgment for turning it down. The shake on your heart when he told you not to do that. And then judgment striking because of that. Just as I am, though tossed about with me, there'll be a day come when you won't. Do you know that Judas, after he had betrayed Jesus,
He sought repentance and could find no place to repent. You know, he done as good a thing as anybody could do. He went out and killed himself. He turned the word down, and he knew it. He knew he had crucified the very Messiah. And he had enough guts to get rid of himself. You say, that's rough. That might be. But it's truth, too. I'm like that man was that went out in the cornfield. I sought the Lord everywhere, tried to find him, couldn't find him, up and down through everything, from teaching Sunday school to being a Baptist deacon, trying to find the Lord. Finally, one day, a word come along that I could find out about the Lord. Then I began to seek the Lord, and I couldn't find him, seemingly. But I had to come to the place like that man was that went out into the cornfield, and he said, Lord, said, I've had it as far as I can go. He said, if you don't save me, you'll find a pile of bones right here in this cornfield. Then it was all done. See, we think it's hard, don't we? You remember the old black brother, Brother Branham, told of it. The man come to him and said, I believe his name was Moses. He said, I want salvation like you got it. He said, come on with me. He carried him out. He said, the old man told him, said, oh, here's a beautiful place. We can pray under these trees or something, you know. It's a beautiful spot here. He said, you don't get it here. He carried him down to the corn crib and through that way and walking around. The old man said, well, Moses, here's a good place. It's good and comfortable. He said, you don't get it here. He said, well, where do I get it? He said, come on with me. He went down to the hog pen. The old black man just rolled up his britches, walked right out in the middle of the mess and the mire, and he said, right here. That old man, he said, no, Moses, not there. He said, I'd get it anywhere else. I'll do anything else. He said, no, sir. He said, here's where you get it at. The old man left, like many of you have. You thought it cost you too much to be a Christian. You thought it cost too many things, so too much in your life to be a Christian. So you turned it down. But you'll come right back to that place where you was to start with. One day that old man had all he could, and he said, Mose, come on. He said, where are you going? He carried him down there. He started rolling up his britches leg. He said, where are you going, boss? He said, I'm going right out in the middle of that hog pen. Old Mose took him by the hand and said, you don't have to go. You don't have to go out there. He said, boss, it's just all in what you're willing to do. See, that's what it is with me and you. It's what we're willing to do. You don't have to give up a thing to be a Christian. It don't cost you nothing. You don't have to give up nothing. All you got to do is just accept the Lord and then just watch Him and let Him just give up what you got. He'll show you something a whole lot better. He'll show you a beautiful green pasture. A beautiful place. We sing one more verse. This is the last one. Just as, make your heart right. Now warning, then judgment. Will receive, will welcome part. Done cleanse, redeem, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Father, we know in your word it says that you're long-suffering. But we know that you come to a place of judgment then.
The same eyes that look at us with love will have to look at us as judgment eyes. Lord, we know we bring that upon ourselves. We commit these words unto Thee. We know that they won't return void, but they will accomplish what they've sent out to do. Lord, help the people here not to think that Brother Dale would plan anything to pick on anybody, but yet the Lord would send a word and say warning, then judgment. Father, not that You'd just send it to preach a message, but yet You'd prove it throughout the Bible that a prophet was always sent as grace. Knowing the fifth seal reveals grace, and then the sixth seal reveals judgment. We know that it's throughout the Word. Help us all now. Grant us understanding of Thee. Dismiss us from one another. Take care of the people on the highways as they travel. Gather us back tonight in Your Word. In Jesus' name we ask it. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child, don't forget we have a new book now if you didn't get a copy of it.